the OTB Podcast Network.
Now, one of the big stories that is on the back of all of the newspapers is obviously the situation in regards to the Carlo footballer who has failed a drug test for meldonium. It's an unusual drug for somebody in GAA to test positive for. It's not something that any of us really knew that much about until the whole Maria Sharapova incident a couple of years back. And one of the things that we wanted to find out a little bit was, what's it actually like for a player to be part of an intercounty setup and to face the drug testing regime that you get from Sport Ireland? So we've been talking to various people around the country who were involved in Gaelic Games, and I'll give you some of the anonymous stuff that we got back from them in a minute. But former Donegal footballer Eamon McGee is with us to give us his experience. Eamon, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Morning, Ger. How are you?
Yeah, good. We were definitely taken aback yesterday when we found out that it was meldonium, because it's difficult to get your hands on meldonium in Ireland. Anyway, in terms of a level of education, when you were playing, how much did you have to sit through? How much work did you have to do to make sure that you were on top of what was on the banned list and what wasn't?
We wouldn't have done much work now, Jared, to be honest with you. You know, we put our faith in the medical staff and the SNC coaches, and in fairness, they were pretty on the ball. We were blessed with a good medical staff, and anything that could come in, we took was very well checked, and anything you took outside of that, you had to run by the doc. So, you know, in terms of literature, in terms of sitting down and talking, this is what you can take, this is what you can't take, it wouldn't have been, you know, a priority for us. We just put an awful lot of trust in docs and the S&C lads.
And look, that kind of is obviously a system that worked quite well up to, well, it seems to work very well for the best run counties, where you have a medical staff, there's a proper relationship with all the medical staff, and they have those conversations. Mm-hmm. Were you guys taking supplements like as a group? Was it a group-wide kind of, these are the supplements that we take and everybody has to take them? Or was it tailored for individuals? Some people needed supplements depending on how they were training. How did that work?
You see, what it was, you know, there was obviously lads that when Jim came in initially, there was lads that would have needed to bulk up a wee bit. And, you know, there's a famous story about Rory Kavanagh taking the 6 dinners a day. But there's also, you know, Rory would have been, you know, a lot of protein shakes. You know, after training the team as a squad would have had their recovery drinks. And I'd say majority of counties that can afford it are doing that at a minute. But, you know, in terms of taking the supplements, I think they came in 2014, you know, coming to the end of my career. But personally, I was never one for that, but I know a lot of lads would have been on that kind of stuff. And again, it would have been rigorously checked by the medical staff.
So there was a centrally recognised kind of, if anybody is taking supplements, these are the ones that we're taking, and this is the brand, and it would have to be batch tested, all that kind of stuff that would just be...
That's correct, but I also know that, you know, myself included, in 2012, I went off, one of the friends got me a batch of creatine, and, you know, I didn't run about that by anybody, so it wasn't checked, and I know a few of the lads are on the same boat, so it was just pure luck of the draw. And in terms of the testing itself, you know, the chances of you getting tested were very low.
How many times did you get tested during your intercounty career?
Never to my recollection. You know, I didn't get tested on it. You know, again, that's the thing about it, that the odds of you getting tested are low enough. You know, so if that particular mindset that you want to kind of cheat the system, you would nearly take a chance.
Tell me, when you were taking creatine in 2012, why did you take it and how did you get it?
I got it one of the lads who's very well versed in, you know, sports science affairs, and he sat me down and he sent me an article on creatine and the benefits of it. And, you know, I would have had a few worries about is there kind of negatives to it, and is this dangerous or anything? And he sat me down and he says, no way, there's so much positives and there's so many benefits to your game here that, you know, you'd be crazy not to take it. So, you know, he managed to help me up with a batch of the stuff, and you know, I was happy enough to take it. And I don't know, was it psychological or was it, you know, an actual physical benefit of it? But I thought it was good stuff, you know.
Right, and is that just a powder that you mix into a drink and take it in a shaker?
Yeah. So what you do with the creatine is that you would load up on it first for the first week or so, and then you would, you know, gradually, you know, two to three times a day then for a few weeks.
And how long did you feel the benefits of creatine after that? Was it? It's about building muscle, is that right, or as opposed to endurance?
It's about building muscle. If you're going to ask me the ins and outs of it now, that basically the sell was, this is going to improve your game. You're going to feel stronger. You're going to be faster. And for me, it wasn't about the strength. It was about the faster part of it. And this is, he sold this package to me, and I was like, yeah, sign me up to it now. And you know, obviously, I did ask, like, this is all above board, and he says this is checked. This is no bother at all. But the protocol was you go to your backroom team, the medical staff or the S&C lads, and say, listen, I'm taking this. Can you get it checked out for me? But I kind of never really bothered with that.
Why not? As a matter of interest, was that a little kind of wrinkle in the back of your mind going, I should get this checked out with the lads, but actually, you know what, I'm not going to bother. Why didn't you?
Hassle, Jerry. You know, what happens if they were to tell me, say, you know, I'd taken it two weeks into it, and I says, you know, maybe I should go and see the backroom team about it. But you know, the conscience wasn't at me or anything. I knew the thing was okay, and I knew it was, you know, I trusted the man's advice and his opinion. But it was just hassle. There was no other reason for it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so not to focus on the specifics of the current case or any other case, but you can see how, if there was somebody on a GA team who had an idea and it wasn't necessarily creatine, it was something else, how a trusted person on the team could suddenly become a conduit for a bunch of other people to be taking stuff.
Yeah, definitely. I can understand that, how that happens. You know, when you go back to my earlier example about the creatine, you know, it could have been a bad batch. You know, it could have, small chance it could have been a bad batch. And, you know, I could have gave that then to other members of the squad, and they could have got unlucky and they could have got tested, and you know, there would have been consequences to that. But I definitely agree with what you're saying, Jerry, in terms of, you know, that one person can bring in whatever.
It seems as if they've kind of ramped up a little bit the actual amount of expectation on players to take a bit of personal responsibility for this now. I don't know how much ramping up they've done. So we had one of the lads ring around various people, and this was all under condition of anonymity. But we heard back from three current intercounty players last night, three separate counties at different levels. And all three of them said that they had to do an online webinar or a quiz at the start of the year. And a couple more from some recently retired former players. A one-off presentation with the usual advice, check everything with your doctor before taking anything. More of a tick-the-box exercise, no real emphasis put on it, in my opinion. But in fairness, the information given was clear. Another one said, a couple of talks over the years and we were told to run everything by the medical team, so you put all your trust in them. And then one meeting a year, totally inadequate considering teams have totally different levels of resources around medical staff, nutritionists, etc. So you've got a good medical team. You could have gone and checked whatever you wanted with them. There are definitely counties who probably don't have the access to the same amount of backroom teams, but there is this online webinar. If you were playing today, Eamon, and I know it's a hypothetical situation, but you're sent a link by WhatsApp saying, here, fill this, go and do this test. It's going to take you half an hour. It'll give you the details on what you can and can't take. We have to trust the players are doing that, or should there be some kind of system where you're not allowed to play until it's proven that you've taken this half hour test?
County players have a lot on their plate, you know. If the cell is right in terms of if you trust your doctors and you have a good relationship with the medical staff, which we did, if he was to tell me take this quiz or take this questionnaire, then you're going to do it. But you know, it's just a lot of hassle, you know, in my opinion.
and maybe not necessarily that much of a deterrent either. It's like, I guess the whole point about having a drugs testing regime is to deter people from taking drugs. And I just don't know how, I don't know how it works, right? I don't know how in practice, if I'm inclined to look for an advantage and if I'm inclined to look for some way of cheating the system, I don't know how much this half hour, I suppose it makes me responsible if I do get caught. And maybe that's the only, that's the way that that works.
Yeah, and I think this is the big one. You know, players have to have a level of responsibility. It's primarily on the players. It'll be on the medical staff and, you know, the S&C coaches, but secondary, but primarily it's going to be on the player. They have to make sure that they're taking the right stuff. And, you know, Maledonium, there's this question mark over that straight away for you as a county player and for you being involved in any sport that's going to be drug tested. So, you know, that's going to put alarm bells off straight away. So you have to ask the question, should I be taking this?
Eamon, just to go back to the whole process of testing. So you were never tested during your inter-county career. Did you see testing happen? Did you see teammates getting pulled aside after games to be tested?
Yeah, I seen, I think there was example in the All-Ireland final 2012, you know, we were all in cloud nine and Christy Toy was pulled aside and, you know, he couldn't make the bus to the hotel. And, you know, we're obviously fairly annoyed about it now, but it would, most of the Croke Park games, there would have been someone pulled aside and tested and, you know, you weren't allowed to leave until you produced a sample. And that's fair enough. I'd have no wild complaints about it. You know, we're taking the government grants. The county players are taking the government grants, and we expect a certain level of responsibility on the players then.
And then what about out of competition? Because obviously this case with the Carlow footballer was out of competition testing. Was there ever anybody who visited Donegal training, or did anybody get tested after a training session?
There was, I think off the top of my head, there have been three or four times that players would be tested at training. They would have landed up at training. And just wait, again, training session was completed. You waited for the to produce a sample after the training, and there was fairly run of the mill. I don't think the majority of lads had any wide problem with it. Mm-hmm. But it, again, it was rare, and if you were tempted to go down that route, you would take a chance and with the odds that are there that you're going to be tested.
Was this a topic of discussion amongst inter-county players about the subject of doping? It's a fairly big subject in terms of the wider realms of sports. You'd have all been reading sports media where there are international stories doing the rounds. As athletes yourself, I'm sure there would have been discussions about, God, I wonder, is our competitors, for example, indulging in things? Obviously, pure idle speculation, but yeah. I'm sure it might have been in your mind.
Yeah, definitely, you know, and as the years went on, as things got more seriously with the supplements and, you know, the recovery powder, and you're thinking and you're having these debates, and, you know, a lot of county squads will have these big philosophical discussions, you know, to pass the time and the nights away. And we were saying, where's the line? Where does the line stop? And, you know, who decides what's good and what's bad? Because the supplements would have been fairly popular amongst the squad, and every county squad's the same. The recovery drinks after training were mandatory. You know, it was frowned if you didn't take any. And, you know, that there is a benefit. You know, you're receiving a head start. So, you know, the line, we discussed about, we chatted about where is that line in terms of what is cheating and when are you on your own, if that makes sense.
And did you come up to with an answer for that philosophical question? Was it as simple as whatever's on the banned list represents?
No, any good philosophical discussion, there is no answer at the end of it now.
What did you think, though?
I stopped taking the creatine in 2013, and I haven't taken it since. So maybe I did answer that question. You know, I just, you know, I had a few discussions with myself and with the friend who recommended it, and, you know, it would have been brought into the club in this last few years, and I would have stayed away from it now. But I understand, and I've no bother at all with people taking the stuff. But you know that there is a part of it that is not you. You're still getting that helping hand. You're still and maybe that's naive. Maybe that's a wee bit naive on my part. But they're still getting a head start on someone who doesn't have that creatine.
It kind of feels like it's a little bit of it's a slippery slope, essentially. If I take creatine today, there's a possibility that actually, well, what's the difference between this? So this isn't on the banned list, but I actually feel much better taking it. The stuff that's on the banned list must be supercharging me. Maybe I could take a little bit of that and see how it goes, like particularly in the off season when I know there's no chance of getting tested. Like, is that part of the philosophical question that or debate that kind of comes to the fore?
Definitely, and we laughed, you know, we had this discussion, we laughed as for the lads that were at the wrong end of her career, you know, who says we could possibly squeeze a few more years out of her career if we went down this route. But again, it's something that I don't think many would have taken seriously, but you know, it is that road you can go down because there is the small chance of you getting tested.
So you can see why people do it.
I can understand 100% why people do it. You know, I can't understand why a Carlo footballer is taking melatonin and, you know, worrying about that. But I can see why the successful counties of chance, the counties that are in with a real chance, would be taking it for that. Because there's not that much of a percentage in terms of the gap between the Dublin and the Kerry and Tyrone and these boys. So I can understand why someone might be tempted to take it to make up that wee gap.
Yeah, look, it's obviously not a topic that's going to go away anytime soon. But it's always great to talk to you, Eamon. But that was really interesting, just the fact that these conversations are happening at between squads and those long, dark nights away where you're trying to recover and the box sets aren't that good.
No, well, this was probably pre-Netflix, before Netflix is a big thing now. So hopefully them discussions are still happening because they're always fruitful.
Good stuff, Eamon. Thanks a million for joining us this morning.
Thanks, boys. See you there.
Right. Bye-bye. You can get us here on 0879 180 180. And obviously, just to reiterate, of course, that the Cardiff footballer in question says he doesn't know how the meldonium got into his system. He says it was taken inadvertently, but has yet to come out and explain exactly how it did get there too. So
that was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.